I think everyone could agree that no one thinks the value of an emergency service is $0.
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Lisa Maurer is an emergency physician with Emergency Medicine Specialists, an independent private group working in the Milwaukee metro region of Wisconsin. She also chairs the American College of Emergency Physicians Reimbursement Committee. Maurer says the No Surprises Act is the right approach to protect patients and ensure fair payment for physicians. But she adds there are significant challenges that continue to hamper the law's success. This is Episode 14, Good Law, Bad Behavior.
The implementation of the No Surprises Act, I think it's important to start with big picture. The legislation is a breath of fresh air, predominantly because, number one, our patients are protected, and that's what everyone was going for, including us as emergency physicians. And then number two, we have a process. We have a way to address issues if we feel like payments are not appropriate for the services rendered to patients, right? So that is the structure and the framework under which we're working.
But there are concerns about the way the law is or isn't being implemented. What are those?
The No Surprises Act implementation has actually veered significantly from what was intended from legislation. And I would say implementation could use improvement in a few different areas. One is that the tools that the arbiters have to use to make fair payment determinations need to be updated and accurate. The qualified payment amounts need to actually reflect the contracted rates that occur in everyday practice and the in-network agreements, and they need to be updated every year, as was outlined by the initial law and regulations. I would say the second big thing is that the initial payments that are done by the insurers are definitely supposed to reflect what they feel a fair value of the service was that was rendered, and the initial payment needs to be an attempt at the payment of the actual value of the service. We're seeing some insurers pay amounts that are flagrantly in the face of that intention, like, for example, paying a $0 amount. And I think everyone could agree that no one thinks the value of an emergency service is $0. And then lastly, and this is a big one for actually small businesses and practices that are trying to stay afloat despite the No Surprises Act and its implementation, is even if, and we do know that emergency physicians are winning arbitration over 85% of the time, but even if they win, they're supposed to get paid then by the insurance company based on that determination within 30 days of determination. And that's happening in very, very few percentage of the determinations. So, for example, my practice, we win 99% of the time in arbitration, and we're actually getting paid within 30 days, less than 10% of the time. And so that cash flow is really, really quite difficult for a small business such as a physician practice.
What's ACEP doing to push back on this bad insurer behavior?
Well, I think one thing is that CMS can continue to increase resources that it attributes to the resolution of complaints and issues as it relates to the participating in the No Surprises Act. So when we win an arbitration dispute and then we don't get paid within 30 days, we need to be able to reach out to CMS and let them know about the variation from what we would expect to be the process. And there is a mechanism, but because the demand for this process has been so much higher than initially they anticipated, they're having to constantly ramp up resources to kind of administer the process. So I would say that's number one. And then number two is we actually need to have the legislators outline in what way CMS is going to enforce the law that they've passed years ago now that everyone agreed on. I think up to this point, CMS has been kind of at will enforcing, and we haven't really seen a lot of that enforcement. And so insurers are able to delay or even forego payment that the arbiter's outline is required. And so we're really in support of the No Surprises Act Enforcement Act, which is just kind of leveling the playing field between insurers and providers, saying that if the payments are delayed, then there's a penalty for that. And I think that's what everyone would expect, for everyone to just follow the rules as the legislation intended.
Legislation is one approach. Do we have any other options?
I think one other way would be we are really anticipating clarity in the final operations rule from the departments, and I think some clarity around, you know, how to appropriately batch claims, what claims can be batched together. Really, what do we expect from initial and subsequent payments? How to best communicate with each other? And looking for that clarity in regulation could really add a lot of substance to the process as well.
Have you and your colleagues lost faith in the law, given how implementation has gone?
I guess in general, I expected at least part of this. I'll just speak for myself. I think, at least for my practice, there's a huge learning curve. It's a whole new side of medicine that no one's ever experienced before. And we expect that there are stumbles across the way, and with that, we learn together on how to maneuver the process. But I think that as long as we have strong enforcement in hand, we have a lot of optimism about the spirit of the law that was passed years ago, and that it doesn't necessarily need to be overhauled, that it has great bones, and we just need to implement what we started years ago. Because number one, it is protecting patients. And I think that the market forces that could be outlined if this was actually followed as intended would bring insurers together with providers to have those actual productive conversations about what does it look like in the world of fair payment.
You're one of many ACEP members driving this advocacy, so you're a good person to share this news with the membership at large. They really ought to know that there's a lot going on.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And I would say it's multifaceted. So, you know, the work of the organization comes from a few different sources. The ones that come to mind for me are probably where I'm the most involved and where I see, which is a lot. Part of it is the committee work, and it's physician volunteers, ACEP members that are volunteering their time to partner with staff through the Federal Government Affairs Committee, through the Reimbursement Committee. And also, you know, it's a lot about educating legislators and regulators, but also the public as well. So it's about through public relations and marketing to make sure everyone knows what's at stake for the practice of independent emergency medicine and how to work together with patients and insurers to make it a successful marketplace. I mean, I don't think I've been on a meeting in the last 3 years where we haven't talked about the No Surprises Act, what we're doing about it, how we're communicating with other stakeholders, how we're communicating with regulators, with legislators, with the public, with patients, because it is a moving target. And we want to make sure everyone's not only functional, but comfortable with what's going on, and that we do have the patients first and foremost.
If an ACEP member listening to this wants to get engaged, what can they do?
ACEP members can do a lot to actually help the process. One thing that they could do is to participate in the process. I think the more that the everyday working PIT physician is putting claims through the independent dispute resolution process, the more these regulators and arbitrators will see what the everyday physician is going through with our business practices. Secondly, I would say absolutely participate in ACEP's leadership and advocacy conference that includes Hill visits to your legislator. I think it's quite intimidating as a physician to show up to these Hill visits. And every time I come, I'm so grateful that the staff provide headlines, they provide data for me. So I can just come with my own business stories, with my patients' stories, and they provide the policy background that I need to have a productive conversation. And then thirdly, I would make sure that you reach out to your ACEP chapter leadership, because that's a great way to participate and kind of funnel up through the federal college. And that's where a lot of this legislation and regulatory advocacy happens. So as long as your state, your chapter, and then your legislator are aware of what your experience is, then we can make sure communications and advocacy represent you.
And we should point out there is still plenty of time to sign up to attend LAC next month here in Washington. We'll have that link in the show notes. But to close out this conversation, I wanted to ask, are you optimistic that this will get worked out eventually?
I'm a cup half full kind of girl, so I am actually really optimistic that this will get worked out. I'm a proponent of kind of like the free marketplace. And so I think as long as the law is implemented as it was intended to be, it really should drive productive conversations about what it means to have fair payment in network with productive agreements between insurers and physicians that protect patients, and then provide a steady marketplace for independent EM practices.
Every day from now until March 28th, we'll feature a different story about the work of ASEP and its chapters. We'll talk about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. We kicked off the series on March 11th. You can listen to those conversations and read more about ASEP's work to improve implementation of the No Surprises Act by clicking the links in the show notes. There's also a website, asep.org/results. You've been listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.